I'd like to call this council and committee meeting to order. Would you all please rise for the invocation?
We meet to serve our community and endeavor to be worthy custodians of all that has been entrusted to us. Let us be concerned only for what will promote good government. May we bring to our council chamber minds that think and hearts that feel, so that in our deliberations we may display imagination, wisdom, and courage, and the will to do our work for the good of all.
Madam Clerk, the roll call, please.
Your Worship, all members of Council, save and except Councillor McDermott, who has a personal commitment this evening.
Thank you. There is no addendum this evening. Some very brief announcements. Tomorrow, a town crew is going to be helping out with Habitat for Humanity on their build on Crescent Park Road. That house is scheduled to be completed in July, and so there will be a public ceremony for that, and I'm sure that that will be advertised. This is the last meeting before the July 1st holiday, so remind all of you that Canada Day festivities in Ridgeway take place June the 30th, July 1st and 2nd. Check your newspaper because there'll be lots of advertising with respect to the events there. And then the following week, July 7th, 8th and 9th, will be Ridgeway Festival. So lots of activity down in Ridgeway. July the 1st in the evening, there will also be the Canada Day fireworks, and those take place in the traditional location down near the bottom of Beatrice Street at 10 p.m. And finally, I just wanted to comment on this being the last council meeting that our beloved clerk will be with us. Laura Babanko has accepted a position as the new clerk at the Regional Municipality of Niagara. It's a larger council with greater challenges, and I'm sure there are other benefits that would arise. But I wanted to thank Laura for the time that she's been here with us. I think that you have grown in your professional capacity as a clerk and certainly as an individual. I believe that I speak for all of the councillors when I say that we've enjoyed you being here. We've looked to you for guidance on issues that have been of consternation for us from time to time. So we will miss you, but we wish you the best of luck. And I have the benefit of not only seeing you here on Monday nights, but now I'll still see you, but it'll be Thursday nights. So congratulations and best of wishes. Are there any disclosures of pecuniary interest? Madam Clerk, I have two. One is item 9.2.3, which relates to the Community Gaming Development Corporation minutes. There's a reference in there to at least the Crystal Ridge Community Center and an allocation, and so I'm going to declare a conflict. I simply won't vote on that, and I'll ask for that to be removed from the consent agenda. And also item 11A, which again deals with the Community Gaming Development Corporation resolution to allocate bingo licenses to the Crystal Ridge Community Center. That's because the Ridgeway Lions Club has a large role in the operation of the community center at Crystal Ridge, and so I'll declare a conflict. I don't have a pecuniary interest, but I think it's appropriate. So when we get to that, I will ask for that item to be dealt with separately as well, and I will hand the chair over to Councillor Nutt if you're willing. Okay. If there are no other disclosures of pecuniary interest, there are no public notices of upcoming meetings. That takes us to the Regional Councillor Report. Good evening, Councillor Annunziata.
Good evening, Your Worship. Good evening, members of Council and the full gallery. Wow, that's pretty impressive. Quick hitter, Dominion Road. I know that's been on everyone's mind. I know we've had that commitment for the last 2 years to get that project up and going through the hard work of yourself, Your Worship, and certainly myself and the rest of our colleagues. We were able to fast-track that project. This is one of the first ever design-build projects. As such, the region is now demanding that projects come in on time and on budget, which is a good thing. So part of that is the contractor now assumes the majority of the risks for any delays and any overages on those projects. So in this case, the two winning contractors, Rankin and Beam, are dotting their I's and crossing their T's and going through every last detail to make sure that they have the full scope and the full understanding of what this project entails. So it's taking a little bit longer than it would normally take, but I can assure everyone that it is on schedule. I'll update you right now. The Beam Ranking Group is proceeding with detailed design work. 90% of the drawings were submitted for review last week. Permits were to be applied for this week. And I know staff has been working very, very hard with respect to the water design elements and any refinements that have to be made. So again, the inclusion of additional water services will be determined as confirmed by the town. And I know there's been a meeting, if not already, but sometime this week, to do the final review of road design. Construction start date, it's not established yet, but it's contingent upon the permits and the final drawings being approved. So it is coming for all the motorists and vehicles that have had to endure that that horrible stretch of road at Dominion. There is relief coming, and it will be this year. So I wanted to share that news. Development charge review, we have that coming forward as well, Your Worship. And again, part of the challenge that we have, certainly in the town of Fort Erie, and I know I've been a strong supporter of this probably over the last couple of years, is the archaeological overlay, which we in the town have been blessed but sometimes cursed with as well. So I did make an amendment last week. I gave staff direction to include archaeological findings and an archaeological CIP attached to any brownfield remediation. So hopefully under the new policy coming forward, if there is a brownfield that is needing of remediation or development and archaeological is discovered as well, there will be CIPs and there will be incentives to cover the cost of archaeological as well. So I know that's good news for the town of Fort Erie and certainly any other municipality that are impacted by archaeological findings like we are here in the town. Regional transit. Again, you hear all the time about the regional transit and the need for a truly regional transit system. I'm grateful to say that a triple majority was reached. Now, a triple majority was needed to officially take over the transit service. Not only that, but it received unanimous support as well. So as you know, the Niagara region has operated intermunicipal buses for the past few years through a pilot project, but a triple majority of support from regional council and lower tier councils representing a majority of electors was required before the region could become a true partner in providing transit service. So the next steps, obviously, is to put a governance structure in place, whether it's a Niagara Regional Transit Commission, but we're working certainly with our three service providers, the City of Welland, the City of Niagara Falls, and the City of St. Catharines, to make sure we have a seamless regional transit. So that's good news as well. For all the tourists that will be coming down to Niagara, just want to remind everyone that GO service starts again June 23rd between Toronto and Niagara. Great partnership between Metrolinx and the Niagara Parks Commission. For the cost of one fare, you can now tap into the WeGo transportation service as well. So you buy your transit, your GO transit fare, and it automatically translates into the WeGo transit, which I think it does go all the way down to Fort Erie, the WeGo, or it's supposed to anyways, but that's good news for anyone that wants to travel up and down that Niagara River corridor. So those are all my announcements, and I'll leave it up to questions or comments from council.
Thank you very much, Councillor Annunziata. And you may know that the mayors and CAOs of the local area municipalities met in Fort Erie on Friday. Councillor Nutt was good enough to greet the mayors. I was supposed to be out of town. But they discussed, there was quite a lively discussion with respect to the development charges and the position taken by the City of Welland, supported by virtually all of the mayors with respect to the presentation made by the CAO from Welland, Gary Long, at the last regional council meeting. So I'm advised that there was a further meeting today among several municipalities at the region, along with CAOs, planners, and the finance directors. And it looks like there may be some headway with respect to modifying some of the original recommendations by staff. So that, I guess we'll know more as that progresses.
Yes. So as you know, we had some presentations last week, and based on those presentations, we as a council passed on our best input to staff to come back with those recommendations, that report. We've heard loud and clear from the Niagara Home Builders Association, from Niagara Industrial Association, that providing low low cost to those development fees actually incentivize business and industry to locate here in Niagara. So that's one benefit that we do not want to lose, Your Worship.
Right. Also, the importance of the incentive programs and the DC waiver programs with respect to remediation of brownfields. Any members of council have any questions? Councillor Nutt?
Thank you very much, Your Worship. Thank you, Regional Councillor Nunziata. Since you brought up GO Service and the transit study nearing completion, I just want to reiterate again, one of the concerns that I'm consistently hearing from transit riders is single fare system, so that they're not having to buy multiple different types of fares based on where they're going, especially for students who are on a limited income as well as seniors. The second thing, as the mayor said, I sat in with the CAOs and the mayors on Friday morning. What I was shocked about the DC charge report, and I know that the mayor was there, heard my comments, was that one of the highest increases was to the housing that we need desperately here in Fort Erie, which is multi-residential residential dwellings. And those DC charges were, I think, set to increase well over 400%. So I could see that as being somewhat discouraging to developers. Less than 4% of our actual emissive rating. I'm fairly sure that's an accurate number. When we last discussed, 4% of the residential dwellings are apartment buildings, or is it less than 4?
Last year, we had a total of 26 apartments created, and there was 257 units. So your numbers, it's just about right.
Yeah, so as we are gaining momentum and more that's being developed, especially in our residential cores with the CIP plans, I'd hate to see that momentum slowed because it's good for the business in Fort Erie. Lastly, I'd just like to take a moment to, if you could pass along our thanks to Mr. Tripp for doing an excellent job on the ditching down Stevensville Road in front of the commercial core. Last time it rained, the ditches were full, but there was no water flowing into the parking lots, which was excellent work by the region. So if you can pass our thanks, the businesses there really appreciate the work that was done.
I will pass that on. And to your point of development charges, absolutely. I think there is a will at the regional level to make sure that we do not discourage that development, especially with the momentum that you spoke of. So there is an opportunity to create that fidelity between policies, between the lower tier and the upper tier, and certainly adding that archaeological element that I'm hoping will come forward will actually put us ahead of the curve when it comes to inviting investment. So all great points, Councillor, and I will pass on your thank you to our public works staff.
There was just one more thing. When I was at the active transportation steering committee that the three of us sit on, myself, the mayor, and yourself, one thing I noticed in the study that is for the committee, and I'm hoping that you might be able to speak to some of the peers at the region, is that there's a lot of east-west movement surrounded solely with the GO station proposed hubs. But that report is supposed to go out to 2041, and I did not see a lot of new development for road links going north-south. So Fort Erie, Port Colborne, Waynefleet, West Lincoln, all kind of are left in the dark with new roads being built to shuttle people to those locations. So, again, that was something I brought up, but if you could also speak to your peers at the region, that would be great, greatly helpful. Thank you.
I will, and all great points. And to your point of the single fare use, that's definitely the model that they're considering with the regional transit fare, a single fare model. But there's a great report that we've been working on at the region. It's how we go, how we flow, how we grow, and certainly understanding the east-west, north-south linkage is going to be vital. It's not a static report. It's a living report. So by 2041, hopefully we will have developed the infrastructure here at the town of Fort Erie to make sure that we're connecting to the hub system. And I have no doubt that the growth curve that we're at, there will be opportunity to do that, Councillor.
Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Worship. I'll be quick. I see some kids already falling asleep. So, Councillor Nunziata, just very briefly, can we chat later this week about the residents on Dominion Road who had experienced those flooding issues? I know you're working towards getting some answers. I saw some of the correspondence, but some of them still feel like they're kind of in limbo as to what happens next. So we can chat offline and see if we can bring some resolution to that.
Absolutely. Okay. Great opportunity to bring that forward. And again, you know, it's all a situation where it's a regional road, it's city and town infrastructure. You have residential homes that are being impacted with either flooding. Who bears the cost? Who bears the responsibility? If it's a shared responsibility, that's certainly something that we should discuss. More than happy to discuss that with you, Council.
Yeah, if we can close that gap, because all they care about is the fact that their basement carpets are soggy, and we got to figure out where the blame lies. So.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Your Worship.
Thank you. Any other councillors? Thank you very much, Councillor Annunziata. That then takes us to presentations and delegations, and we have a number this evening, but we'll start with one of the most exciting on the agenda that relates to the audited financial report. And James Brennan is here. I find it particularly good bedtime reading.
But look at all that came out to hear it.
It's fascinating how many people are interested in the financial situation of the municipality. Good evening, Mr. Brennan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, councillors. Before I read the exciting report, I'd just like to thank Mr. Jensen and his staff this year for their cooperation and assistance during the audit. Helped to go very smoothly. So the independent auditor's report reads as follows. It's addressed to the members of council, inhabitants, and taxpayers of the corporation of the town of Fort Erie. We have audited the accompanying consolidated financial statements of the corporation of the town of Fort Erie, which comprise the consolidated statement of financial position as at December 31st, 2016, and the consolidated statements of operations, changes in net financial assets and cash flows for the year then ended, and a summary of significant accounting policies and other explanatory information. Management is responsible for the presentation and fair preparation and fair presentation of these consolidated financial statements in accordance with the Canadian Public Sector Accounting Standards, and for such internal control as management determines is necessary to enable the preparation of financial statements that are free from material misstatement, whether due to fraud or error. Our responsibility as auditors is to express an opinion on these consolidated financial statements based on our audit. We conducted our audit in accordance with Canadian Generally Accepted Auditing Standards. Those standards require that we comply with ethical requirements and plan and perform audit to obtain reasonable assurance about whether the financial statements are free from material misstatement. As an audit involves performing procedures to obtain audit evidence about the amounts and disclosures in the financial statements, the procedures selected depend on the auditor's judgment, including the assessment of the risks of material misstatement of the financial statements, whether due to fraud or error. In making those risk assessments, the auditor considers internal control relevant to the entity's preparation and fair presentation of the consolidated financial statements in order to design our audit procedures that are appropriate in the circumstances, but not for the purpose of expressing an opinion on the effectiveness of the entity's internal controls. An audit also includes evaluating the appropriateness of accounting policies and the reasonableness of accounting estimates made by management, as well as evaluating the overall presentation of the financial statements. We believe the audit evidence we have obtained is sufficient and appropriate to provide a basis for our opinion, and in our opinion, the consolidated financial statements present fairly in all material respects the consolidated financial position of the Corporation of Town of Fort Erie as at December 31st, 2016, and the results of its operations, changes in net financial assets, and cash flows for the year then ended in accordance with Canadian Public Sector Accounting Standards. The report is duly signed by Grant Thornton LLP, May 19th, 2017.
Thank you very much, Mr. Brennan. That was stimulating. Just for clarification, you mentioned that this is a consolidated audit report, and that includes some organizations that are responsible for their own affairs, for the Republic Library Board, the three business improvement areas, Bridgeburg, Ridgeway, and Crystal Beach, and the Community Gaming Development Corporation.
Yes.
Okay. Do any members of council have any questions of Mr. Brennan? Although I make light of this, this is very serious business, obviously, and we certainly appreciate the time and the energy that your company has put into this audit. It's very helpful for our staff to understand and be aware of any shortcomings that there may be that you identify, and certainly endorse the work that they do if they are doing good work on behalf of the municipality. So we thank you very much, Mr. Brennan.
Thank you, and we'd like to thank Fort Erie for being a long-time client of Grant Thornton. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That then takes us to Mr. Crane Gittens and Ms. Rebecca Parton, who have some presentations to make with respect, or at least the town is going to recognize some of the students that they had. Now, I don't see Becky Parton, do I? There she is, hiding behind the podium. Would you please come forward? And I had anticipated that, are you going to do this separately or do you want to do it together? Okay, that's fine. That's fine. And then I can come down and one of the counselors will come with me and we'll hand out the certificates, which I hope are over there.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Member of Council. I appreciate the opportunity to come and highlight for you some of the interesting and successful events happening in the Specialist High Skills Major programs and the Ontario and DSBN Skills Competitions programs that Fort Erie students take part in. Fort Erie Secondary is very proud to host two highly successful Specialist High Skills Major programs, one in hospitality and one in manufacturing. Called SHSMs or SHSMs, the Specialist High Skills Major programs give students an opportunity to gain extensive experience in trade-specific areas while achieving their Ontario Secondary School Diploma. Students who complete the SHSM will have completed four senior courses in their chosen trade areas. They will also have completed numerous industry-recognized additional certifications, participated in a workplace cooperative education experience, and will receive a seal on their diploma identifying that they are SHSM graduates. The SHSM programs in hospitality and manufacturing at Fort Erie Secondary have also proven to be very successful training grounds for students interested in joining board, provincial, and national level skills competitions. DSBN students involved in the DSBN skills competitions have an opportunity to explore careers in the skilled trades and technologies by competing in industry-related projects using industry standard equipment and following industry leading regulations. Skills challenges are evaluated by industry experts who give students detailed feedback to help students further refine their skills. This year, Fort Erie Secondary was extremely proud of the efforts of the following students who represented FES at the DSBN Skills Competitions. Kai Gerritsen and Jason Haywood competed in the two-person television and video production challenge, and Kai and Jason won the silver medal. Yeah. Jesse Flake competed in the precision machining challenge, and Jesse won the silver medal. Kiara Fretz competed in the job interview challenge, and Kiara won the bronze medal in that competition. Bailey Airy competed in the job demonstration challenge, and Bailey won the silver medal. Elizabeth Cheer competed in the baking challenge, and Elizabeth won the silver medal. Haley Patrick competed in the baking challenge, and Haley won the gold medal. Haley, as well, competed at the Niagara College Cook-Off, and in the baking category, again won a gold medal and a $1,000 scholarship to attend Niagara College. You can see why at Fort Erie Secondary we are very proud of our Specialist High Skills Major programs and the students involved in the DSBN and Skills Ontario and Skills Canada competitions. Students who graduate from Fort Erie Secondary SHSM programs possess exceptional skills, as outlined by these young students here, certifications and experience, and these students have the proven potential to be successful in their careers of choice. We are proud of the staff who devote countless hours to making these programs successful, and very proud of the community partners, including the wonderful support we receive from City Council, who work so hard to make these great opportunities a reality for our students. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gittens. Before you go and before Becky starts, Councillor Butler and I are going to hand out some certificates to the students that you've just referred to. Then we'll allow Ms. Parton to give her comments, and then we'll recognize the students that she's here for. Photography. Good evening, Ms. Parton.
Mayor, members of council, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here to showcase our SSTC program and three very special students. Our Specialized Schools of Community, or SSTC for short, is a thriving program at Fort Erie Secondary School. The name itself exemplifies the strong link our students have created between the classroom and the community of Fort Erie. Our students ranging in age from 14 to 21 all bring to the table a variety of challenges, but they never let these challenges prevent them from participating fully and to the best of their ability in a variety of school activities beyond their educational pursuits. In particular, many of our students have found a home in our culinary program, tapping into their skills in food preparation and customer service. I've had the pleasure of experiencing our SSTC crew in action at many occasions in our community, such as a variety of chamber events and most recently the party on the patio. Their talents do not go unrecognized as I constantly overhear the positive comments and compliments buzzing around the events. My personal favorite community connection is Food for the Soul at St. Paul's Church. Our students prepare and serve a hot lunch once a month, arriving early on a Saturday when most teenagers would prefer to sleep in. The waves to the kitchen and constant streams of thank yous as visitors leave is evidence that our students are making a positive impact personally and professionally. Our pomegranate restaurant provides another opportunity for our students to shine and feel an overwhelming sense of pride and accomplishment when each Wednesday dining experience comes to a close. School to community not only looks good, it tastes pretty good too. The welcoming nature of our Fort Erie community provides a supportive backdrop for our SSTC students in all their pursuits, whether it be a gala event, a hot lunch, co-op experience, or the pomegranate restaurant. Thank you to the Town of Fort Erie for your continued support, and thank you to our SSTC students for always reminding me of what's important in life. Strength, kindness, compassion, laughter, and lots of love. And now I have the pleasure to introduce you to our culinary students from our SSTC program. Deirdre Breton has been a part of the program for 2 years and has attended many of the community events as well as participating in the DSBN Skills Competition, showcasing her baking talents. Noah McCracken is a ball of energy and our go-to guy if you want something done. He always makes things happen behind the scenes. And finally, Swayze Lozon was one of our first students to join Mr. K in the cafeteria and has experienced enormous personal success as a direct result of her culinary involvement. Ladies and gentlemen, all culinary students.
We're all in this together.
I'm going to walk out of change.
Congratulations.
We're very honored that we would be able to recognize these fine students, and we wish them all the best of luck next year in their new ventures. And I know some of them will be at the new high school. Some of them may be moving on, but you certainly had an impact on our community, and we thank you for that. Okay. That then takes us to, and I should say that if any of you wish to leave at this time, you may do that. Except the counselors, you have to stay. Our next delegation is Shannon LaRocque, the chair, and Nadine Letwin, the Environmental Advisory Committee, and I see you have some other of your members here as well.
Good evening, Mayor Redekop and members of council.
Good evening.
I'm here tonight on behalf of the town's Environmental Advisory Committee, and tonight we're just going to introduce ourselves, provide an overview of the type of applications that we look at and the services that we provide to the town. And lastly, we're going to provide an innovative, natural, and inexpensive solution to improve the condition of Waverly Beach for your consideration. And that's just a demonstration of the type of advice and service that EAC can provide to council. So I'll first introduce our members. You can see here we are. We're a very dedicated group out here on a very rainy and cold Sunday morning in January with our umbrellas. So I'll introduce myself first. The mayor already introduced me a bit, but I'll do it again. So I'm Shannon LaRocque. I'm the chair of the committee. I'm a registered professional planner, and I've worked both in the municipal and the private sectors. I have 12 years experience, and I'm also a graduate of the Environmental Management and Assessment Program at Niagara College. My personal interest with the committee is I'm always interested to see development that can actually balance preservation and respecting the natural environment. So that's my personal interest. And I'm going to go, and all of my members are here tonight. So we'll start with Nadine. Would you mind? Thank you. This is Nadine Litwin. Nadine started off as a classical pianist with the National Ballet of Canada. And then she returned to school to finish a Bachelor of Science in Biology, a postgraduate certificate in ecosystem restoration, and a master's in education. She's now retired, but she spends her days out in the field as a contract field biologist, and she also is an educator of students in birds and birdsong. Next, I'll introduce Gary Shirk. Gary. Gary has a Bachelor of Science in Zoology and Environmental Science. He's also a member of the town's Active Transportation Committee. He's both knowledgeable and passionate about how wasteful energy use impacts our ecosystem, and he believes that all else depends on a thriving, diverse, and healthy local ecosystem. And you may recognize Gary because you see him riding all over town on his bike as his main means of transportation. He's truly somebody who walks the walk as well as talks the talk. And Tim Seaburn. Tim is a retired civil servant and an amateur naturalist. I would argue that he may have downplayed that a bit in his bio. He's familiar with the plants and animals of Niagara. He's a lifelong resident of Fort Erie, and he helped to found Friends of Fort Erie's Creeks, the Burt Miller Nature Club, and the Niagara Land Trust. Bree Smalden. Bree studied at Niagara College. She completed the environmental technician course and also the ecosystem restoration program. She spent 6 years working at the Friends of Fort Erie's Creeks, where she ran the training and co-op programs, the native greenhouse, and completed regular monitoring and sampling on all of Fort Erie's creeks and drains. And Frank Razzo. Frank is a licensed professional engineer. He lives in Stevensville on a 24-acre property that was old farmland, and he's begun trying to restore that into a Carolinian forest with the help of the Niagara Restoration Council. He fuels his heating system of his house by burning emerald ash for victim trees. And finally, not last but not least, Rick Stockton. Rick is a lifelong naturalist by passion and a neurophysiologist by profession. He's a member of the Burt Miller Nature Club, and he actually requested that the town establish the Environmental Advisory Committee, and he's participated since its inception. And of course, from our picture, you can see that our council representative is Councillor Luberts, and I won't provide his bio because you know him. So for those of you who are not familiar with the committee, it was formed in 2008, and it's been providing comments on environmental impact studies and requests to remove the environmental conservation overlay from properties that are going through a Planning Act application or a building permit process. The committee does this by completing site visits to ensure that what we're seeing on paper is actually what exists on site. And when we're on site, at times we can identify opportunities for linkages and corridors, and we meet with developers and landowners and provide education on important aspects of the natural environment that are unique to Fort Erie. The committee has been very successful over the years, creating positive dialogue and relationships with developers and property owners in both early and late stages of development. The committee has at times recommended enhancements that have actually improved natural heritage features, and we've created a public education campaign to encourage the planting of native species. And of course, through our wonderful makeup of members, we've maintained very successful working relationships and partnerships with local environmental groups, including Friends of Fort Erie's Creeks and Burt Miller Nature Club. And at this point, I'm going to turn the presentation over to Nadine Litwin, our resident biologist, and she's going to provide you with some information about the committee's suggestion for improving the quality of Waverly Beach.
I want to give you a very, very brief example of the kind of collective knowledge that we have, that we share, and the kind of collective information we have at our well. So we're looking at Waverly Beach. We keep losing the sand.
Excuse me, Ms. Litwin, could you move that microphone just a little closer to you?
Okay. Is that better?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Okay. We keep losing the sand at Waverly Beach. We lose it in the winter to the winter winds. It blows back in behind the benches, mostly at the eastern end of the beach. In the summer, we lose the sand to a bulldozer. It piles the sand up at the end of the beach, east end, as you can see on the bottom left. It exposes rock. Unfortunately, the small boardwalks are starting to slump, and we have to walk instead on that beautiful, white, pristine sand, wind up walking on this gritty, coarser sand, sometimes mixed up with those shells that gather up along the shoreline. They get ground up, and the bulldozer will redistribute them across the beach. So, now, what would EAC say about trying to hang on to this beach? Well, EAC would say, go to plants, try some plants along the boardwalk. EAC would also suggest that we look for native species and that we look for beach plants. Now, these three things have been undertaken to some extent along the western half of this boardwalk, but then we would go further. What exactly is our problem on Waverly Beach with the sand? And is there a plant that has a growth strategy that would work with us in hanging on to that sand? And, of course, there is. It happens to be American beechgrass. It's the one right there at the top left. We've all seen it because there's quite a lovely stand of it over at Windmill Point, just as an example. It's what I call a double whammy plant. First of all, it has, in addition to its regular root system, it has rhizomes. These are, look like ropes, but instead of growing vertically into the ground, they grow horizontally. They grow beneath the surface of the sand, 6 to 8 inches, maybe 15 centimeters at least. They are, like the roots of willow trees, attracted to water. So these rhizomes are growing underneath the sand, straight for the lake shore. They create a kind of basket weave or netting underneath the sand. That helps to hang on to the sand, and it helps to hang on to the structure of the beach in the event of a big storm. But the second whammy is that along the rhizomes, there are dormant buds. They stay pretty dormant until the rhizomes are broken down into small units, really short units, maybe 2 buds per unit, and then those dormant buds are likely to break dormancy under the right conditions start growing. What would break down the rhizomes? A good storm. The same storm that would take out part of our beach is going to break down the rhizomes of American beechgrass and then toss those units back up on the beach to start growing. There is an exquisite fit between a species and a disturbance regime. Every ecosystem has a disturbance regime. We're very aware of forest fires in northern Ontario, for example. Well, jack pines need the heat a forest fire to open the cones to release their seeds. This is jack pine that so much many of us are familiar with. The seeds are then released into what I would call a hospitable environment. They now have exposure to the sun, they get water on the ground, and the ashes return nutrients to the ground. Well, American beechgrass not only bulwarks our sand and our beach against a good storm, that very same storm is what makes it able to regenerate and rehabilitate a damaged beach. Double whammy, and it's really simple. So with that very brief introduction to what we can tell you about, I'm going to pass you back to Shannon.
Thank you, Nadine. You can tell she's a passionate lady. Thank you very much. That's all we have to say tonight. We're going to keep it brief. We know you have a lot of other items on the agenda, but thanks for the opportunity to speak to you this evening. We're happy to address any questions you have tonight, or if there are any matters in the future that you wish to refer to the EAC for advice or comments, please contact us through our staff liaison, Matt Kernahan. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your comments. Thank you for the participation of all of your members. We know that you put in a lot of time and energy. We know that you're volunteers, and we know that you're vital to making sure that we are able to pursue our plans as a municipality to prosper and grow. We want to take advantage of the natural heritage features that we have, and the council very much appreciates the time and energy that you put into that. I can't see Mr. Stockton from where I am, but I know that, yes. He's also been engaged in this type of activity for many years. So we do appreciate what you're doing. I take it that the proposal with respect to the beach grass is something you've had discussions with staff about?
We haven't had formal discussions, but I believe there's been some liaising with our staff liaison between other staff.
Right. And there are other planting programs.
Right. I'm not sure that they're done through the town, though. I think it's through some of the other groups. Through the Nature Club.
Yep. Okay. There are some councillors, I think, that have questions they wish to ask. Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Worship. Thank you for your presentation tonight. In looking at the beach and talking about rehabilitation, I know that Councillor Zenko and I have had some conversations, as well as Councillor Luberts and I. Did you look at what can be done with any of the old concrete that's out there, specifically the break wall, the westernlymost break wall, and the parts of the old dance hall foundation?
Through you, Your Worship, to Councillor Nutt. We have not at this point, but if that's something that you would like to refer to the EAC to comment on or advise on, then that's something we could look into.
I actually, following up on a discussion with Councillor Lubritz and I, it's my understanding that there may be Fowler's Toad in this area, but in reading the Environmental Act, there are possible remediation to get the beach usable and cohesive with animal and plant species. But yes, I would very much like to see. I know that in the mapping that I was referred to from the region, I think that westernlymost piece of breakwall actually is under federal jurisdiction, just for the distance that it travels out into the water. But any suggestions on how we could add to our waterfront strategy, especially with reclaiming this beach, would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Any other councillors? Councillor Lubritz.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop, and thank you very much, Shannon, and thank you very much, Nadine. I just want to make one comment about the recognition of the members, and we must mention Matt Kernahan, our staff representative, and Matt has been more than helpful with the committee, and I just wanted to ask Matt, maybe he could comment on one thing. And one of the things that I've been trying to establish through EAC is the fact that EAC is an advisory committee for the town, to give the town advice as to what we have. And listening to the bios and being a member of the Environmental Advisory Committee and going to the meetings and going to the site visits, it's amazing the knowledge that they have. And then what they want to do is pass it on and pass it on to council so that we can make a more informed decision. And my experience with the committee is that we haven't actually told anybody or requested that a development not take place. And I've been striving to make sure that we get rid of the stigma that the advisory committee is a committee of like tree huggers, that's anti-development and stuff. And I just wonder if Matt, if you could kind of comment on the fact that how EAC provides staff with the advice and is merely advisory committee more than an obstruction.
I think you've summarized it quite nicely. Some of the councillors will remember that this committee started off as a committee that's primary focus was reviewing environmental impact studies. Over time, that role has evolved quite a bit. There's been an introduction of something called the Environmental Conservation Overlay, which is reflective of a natural heritage feature, and the committee reviews requests to remove it. Rarely do they deny those requests to remove it. Oftentimes there's requests for more study, and more times than not, there's just an agreeance to have that environmental conservation overlay removed with some suggestions for enhancements. And I think that's one of the greatest values that this committee adds is some local knowledge and the ability to recommend environmental enhancements based on their local knowledge. So,
yes, thank you very much, Matt. And just to further my experience with the Environmental Advisory Committee, when Shannon spoke about offering suggestions for native plants in an area, I can remember one meeting we were at a site visit, and Tim Seaburn, he brought the motion forward that we would assist the new owner of the property in picking plants or picking different trees or whatever that are natural to her area, her and her husband's area. And he offered the Environmental Advisory Committee's assistance for them, because I'm sure that they weren't real knowledgeable on what was native in their area. So those are the kinds of things that I found that the advisory committee does. And I'm very proud to say that I sit on the committee I think just by their bios that Shannon wrote out, we can see that they're very, very well educated in the field, and they're very passionate about our town. And I want to thank them very much for continuing their dedication to the town of Fort Erie and their support for council. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Lubberts. Are there any other councillors? Thank you very much, Shannon, for bringing out your committee and for all of the members for being here. As Councillor Lubert says, we do very much appreciate your work and your expertise, and we look forward to the opportunity to engage you more in the things that are happening here in the town of Fort Erie.
Thank you as well. Good night.
Now, are Caitlin Reimer and Katrina Willick here? They are. I wonder if you young ladies could come forward to the podium. Come forward to the podium, if you would. And I understand that you're here with Jennifer Kasner, Ina Kasner, and Jennifer Woods as well. Okay. So we are going to make a presentation to you. Each of you, Caitlin and Katrina, is being recognized as recipients of the Girl Guides of Canada Chief Commissioner Award, which is a very prestigious award. To earn the Gold Chief Commissioner's Award, you must complete 18 Ranger challenges with at least one from each program area. There are two additional requirements for you to achieve the Gold Chief Commissioner's Award, and that is you have to obtain the Ranger Service Project Award, and you also have to receive the Ranger Cookie Award. And I understand that doesn't mean you eat a lot of cookies. That means you sell a lot of cookies. To earn the Ranger Service Project Award, the Ranger completes a single service project with a minimum of 20 hours in which you participate in the planning and execution of that project. Caitlin, I understand, knitted hats and scarves for Community Outreach Fort Erie, Program Fort Erie. And Katrina helped with youth retreats with the Catholic School Board. Both of you attended a unit trip to your national camp, Guiding Mosaic, last July. And finally, I understand that you each were involved in four cookie campaigns in order to achieve the Ranger Cookie Award. So I would like Councillor Nutt to assist me in providing to you the awards that you've received, and we also wish to recognize you.
More durable, too. So I'm looking at it. I'm afraid we're out of luck.
It's really quite, I guess, touching for us as members of council to see these young people doing so well in our community and making an impact on their community. They are the future leaders, and I must say that I think we're in great shape having these children in our community. So we wish them all the best of luck. And the good news is Caitlin and Katrina just indicated to me that they probably will become leaders, and so they will be able to pass on their skill and talent to another generation of youth. That takes us then to the next delegation, and that is Danielle Brisebois of the Fort Erie Multicultural Center. Good evening.
Good evening.
So you brought some friends.
Brought a few friends. So thank you to Town Council and Mayor Redekoff for allowing us to speak this evening. I'm an employee of the Fort Erie Multicultural Center and a teacher at St. John South Adult Educational Center, and I help facilitate student council. This is a special year for the Multicultural Center as we celebrate our 25th anniversary. The Multicultural Center attributes its success to its many prosperous relationships with community partners. We thank the many organizations, too many to mention, and the Town of Fort Erie for supporting us. We also acknowledge our long-standing partnership with the Niagara Catholic District School Board, which makes us the only blended ESL site in the Niagara region. Now, we will hear from our students. And first, I'd like to introduce Christina. She will tell us about her experiences coming to Fort Erie, Canada, as a refugee from El Salvador.
Good evening, Christina.
I hope everyone is well. I am glad to be here. Let me tell you about my spirits. The first time I heard the art of Canada, I was in my country, El Salvador, in 2016, watching the Olympic Games. When a commercial came on TV, it was a mix of many anthems and many people of different countries who sang together. I don't know what happened to me, but when I heard and saw how the people sang, "Go keep our land, glorious and free," I shiver, and I almost start to cry. I don't know if it was the fever of the Olympic game or seeing people singing different anthems together. Maybe it was the fact that my family and I weren't living a difficult situation of insecurity and violence in my country. Now we have been in Canada for 8 months. Sometimes I had the same feeling when I sing the Canadian anthem and remember the situation in my country, in the fact that not all of my family is here, but I trust in God and I know that soon we will be safe and sound together in Canada. My family and I thank God for giving us the opportunity to live in this country. We feel free, safe, and secure. This is my experience. For me, it's a privilege to be here and say thank you. Thank you to the staff of the Multicultural Center for giving us the support and assistance that we need in order to make our new life in Canada. Thank you to the teachers of the St. John's for their dedication and passion. Thank you to the people of Fort Erie for your kindness and hospitality. Even though we are new here, and you are always polite, friendly, and generous with us. Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
My name is Julissa, and I am from Colombia. I would like to tell you about a little bit about our experience at school. Most importantly, we study English as a second language and learn about Canadian culture. We are very fortunate to have visit from community partners. Throughout the school year, we have guest speaker, British Community, Healthcare, Niagara Public Health, the Fort Erie Fire Department, and so many more who share valuable information with us. Thank you.
I'm Jochebed, and I'm from Haiti. We are also very fortunate to be able to take field trips. Like for Greener Learning, and the Salvation Army have given us opportunities to learn about the environment by taking us to the Niagara Region recycling facility. They have also included us in very important community gardening program. And here are also in, they have, excuse me, they have also included us in the very important community gardening program here in Fort Erie. We are grateful for opportunities like this and all the opportunities that our many community friends provide.
Good evening.
Evening.
I'm Mike from Haiti. We, students from the St. John's South, commend the council for supporting continued improvement on Jarvis Street. Short-term considerations we ask to council to contemplate are an expanded bus schedule and the installation of bike racks in the Jarvis Street. Accessible transportation is a key to our continued success in Fort Erie. We also thank the council for their hard work in bringing business to Fort Erie. This allows us to stay in Fort Erie and grow and prosper with our families. We look forward for more job opportunities in our town. Any suggestion from the council that can help us improve our experience in Fort Erie will be greatly appreciated. Again, thank you for allowing us to speak this evening. Thank you for your continued support. And now, our Executive Director, Matt Amison, would like to address the Council. Thank you.
Good evening.
So I'm just going to take a moment. I have some handouts here for all of you. Back in 2008, the town of Fort Erie adopted the Universal Inclusion Policy and Terms of Reference for a Multicultural Committee that our student council has expressed interest in reconstituting, if you will. So I would like to invite you to have a look at the papers that I'm going to give you, and perhaps we could have a conversation at a future time. And that's all. I don't know if you have any questions or anything, but...
Well, we may. I want to thank all of you for coming out this evening to help to remind us of the diversity of our community and the wealth of talent of individuals that we have here in Fort Erie. All of us can say that we came from someplace other than Canada, and we just came, or our families came, sooner than yours. But yours are here, and so when your children or your grandchildren grow up, they will be not too much different than some of us. I did have a question, though, with respect to this. So there was at one time, you're quite right, a Inclusion and Diversity Committee. And
yes.
Do you know when that disbanded?
Sometime 2008, 2009.
Okay.
And they had created terms of reference for a multicultural committee, which would support the inclusion committee that was the inclusion policy rather, adopted by the town council.
Right.
And for whatever reason, it didn't go any further than that. And so this was seen as an opportunity to. There's some interest in going down that road again.
Right. Do I have an appointment to meet with you?
Yes.
Is it about this?
No.
Okay.
No, the appointment is about housing in Fort Erie.
Okay. Can we talk about this while you're with me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. I think that's wonderful, and I very much look forward to meeting with you to further this discussion, because I think it's an important facet of our community. We do have such diversity here. With the things that are going on in the world, I know that there's increasing pressure on the movement of people from troubled areas to countries like Canada. So I look very much forward to meeting with you on that. There may be some questions by members of council. Any members? Councillor Passero?
Thank you, Worship. Just a quick comment. Thank you all for being here tonight. And it was fitting that the first speaker spoke about when she had heard the national anthem, because I will tell you, one of the best national anthem singings I ever heard was at the 40th anniversary event, the 25th anniversary event that you had held. And when the St. John Singers got up there, led by your capable and fearless leader, Danielle, that to me probably stands out as the best time I have ever heard the national anthem being sung. So thank you for that. And it is a reminder to those of us, as the mayor said, who have just been here a little bit longer, about the freedoms that we enjoy and that we shouldn't take for granted any of the opportunities that we have in this country. And it's a great reminder when we hear from yourselves about how fortunate we are to live in this country. And it's a better place because you have come to join us. And I appreciate that very much. So thank you to everyone.
Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. I agree with Councillor Passero's sentiments there. I just wanted to welcome you to Fort Erie and to Canada. I am a child of immigrant parents who came from Europe to land here in Fort Erie, was luckily employed by Horton CBI, which is no longer here in Fort Erie, but they sent him to Montreal to learn English. So grateful that we have something in our hometown now so that you don't have to travel far away to learn the language, but wanted to congratulate you on your speeches. They were very welcoming, very warm, and the market is opening up in Fort Erie, so the potential for job opportunities exists, and if you would like some assistance in those placements, I'd be more than happy to donate my services to those causes. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Any other councillors? It was. And thank you for your generous offer. I know it will be taken up. Thank you very much, Martha, Danielle, and all of you who spoke this evening. We look forward to seeing you again soon. That then takes us to our next delegation, and that is Dale Hirons. Yep. Good evening, Mr. Hirons.
Good evening. It's nice seeing you all again. It's been a long time. Several years ago, my brothers and I wrote a book on bullying. It was called Death to Bullying. And since then, I've sat down and I looked at that book, but the book wasn't good enough for parents and teachers to fully explain what bullying is and how bullying affects all of us. Bullying. Bullying is in every school. We know that. Good schools react to it. Bad schools pretend that it doesn't exist. So where do we get to the point where we have police officers in schools providing safety for our children? Bullying. February 20th, 1999, there was a tragedy in bullying. Two bullies went into a little high school with guns, Columbine. 12 children were killed, teachers were killed, and students were wounded. What that resulted in was a review on gun safety and the implementation of the Zero Bullying Act. That's, every year, 160 children a day came home from school because of bullying, afraid of bullying. Bullying is worldwide, affecting everybody. Bullying causes fear. Fear causes suicide. Suicide. Let's talk about this for a moment. February 4th, 2004. Mark Zuckerberg. Facebook. Facebook is now the avenue for cyberbullying. What it results in is being children being coerced and then sending pictures of themselves, text messages of themselves. It's called sextortion. These young girls are coerced into sending pictures of themselves, and then more and more demands are put on them. Finally, it results in suicide, such as the case of Amanda Todd, a young girl from North Vancouver who was 12 years old and committed suicide. So we put all these things together, and I came up with a program called Bully Free Forever. The program itself is in two sections. There's an educational section. It explains to parents and teachers all aspects of bullying. There's an educational program that contains a school bullying policy. And then there's an educational program for grades 1 through grade 8, which teaches children how not to become bullies. Then I contacted the Edmonton Autism Society, and with their kind permission, I was able to put a program into it called Autism Spectrum Disorder for Schools. It explains to the teachers all the aspects of autism, the acts of autism, the results of autism. It also explains to teachers how they can react with the kids in their class with had autistic children in their class, how to talk with them. It also teaches teachers to take the kids into a gymnasium, show them what the acts of bullying are, and tell them if it affects them, come and talk to us. These are the favorite targets of bullies, autistic children. In Ontario, now there are 40,000 children with autism in Ontario, and the schools are getting inundated and have a hard time dealing with it. Autistic children don't lie, but they don't know what bullying is, so this is why this is so important. The second section of the program we wrote is called Today's Youth Issues. There are chapters in it that deals with suicide, drugs, alcohol, tobacco, peer pressure, eating disorders, sexuality. This program would enable the schools to be bully-free and most informed schools for their children to learn all the issues they'll face today in their life. So how do I reach more and more people with this program? I go on Facebook, and I have a group page, Bully Free Forever. It is a members-only page for the fact that this way people can talk with other people in privacy about certain issues. And I've had people contact me from small towns in Nebraska, England, Christchurch, New Zealand, and it's always almost the same. Dale, could you help me with my issue? My kid's being bullied. I don't know what to do. I tell them, please send me an email, and I will send you my bullying program, and it will help you out. So then, okay, that's all right. So I'm helping these people out. And then how can I reach more people? So I create a Facebook public page, Bullet Free Forever. And I'm amazed because on your Bullet Free page, if you're an administrator, there's a link called Insights. And you click on that and it shows you people. And it shows all the people that are looking at your Facebook page and the countries and number of people. And I'm in 23 countries around the world in 15 languages. And it amazes me that I would put a post on it, and all of a sudden, like, and it tells the people that like you what you were doing. And it amazes me that now I'm able to reach people worldwide, and they share all these posts. But I don't only do my posts. I will collaborate with other groups that help people. I contact them. I say to them, I'd be honored to share your posts on my Facebook page. So people around the world can also look at mental health issues and suicides, all these issues. I try and help everybody out. So then I said, okay, now I'm going to come before council tonight. And you'll say to me, okay, that's nice. You're lying. What about Fort Erie? So I sit down and I create another Facebook page called Bully the School. And I contact all my friends that are on Facebook in Fort Erie, see if they will like this page. This was 3 weeks ago. So I go on there every night. I'm on my Facebook every night and every morning before I go to work. Because I'm interested to see how this program is doing. So I look at it now, and I've got 385 families in Fort Erie that are on this page already, sharing these links. And then I start going, okay, in more countries. And I go down. In 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 17 more countries all around the world. Why? Because they're interested in bullying. Why do I do this stuff? I'll tell you what really, really hurt me the worst was I'm on Facebook, and I get this post comes up on Facebook, and a mother has an 8-year-old daughter. Daughter comes home. Mommy, I don't want to go to school tomorrow. You have to go to school. She goes to wake her daughter up, 8 o'clock in the morning. She's lying on the floor dead. She strangled herself with a skipping rope because she was too afraid to go to school. And I thought, what fear must go through this young girl's mind to be so afraid at 8 years old of bullying? So, it did bother me really a lot. But now, I got together with John Monacone and Steve Ballard, and we finally got a charitable status for our program. The goal now for the program is to get a website. A website that will allow everyone worldwide to click on these links. What is bullying? What is suicide? What are my rights as parents? What's the school's responsibilities? And so they can access everything free to the world to see. Now what's going to happen in the schools is the program we have is a tool and it's a weapon. It's a tool for parents to understand all aspects of bullying. And it's a weapon. The weapon is called litigation. And it's going all across Canada and the United States. School boards are being sued for gross negligence. Why? Because when you are a parent, you have certain rights. If your child is bullied, you go to the teacher. The teacher has to give you a written explanation of the incident. And that goes to the principal. And he has to give you a written explanation of what he's going to do about the incident and ensure it'll never happen again. If these two acts don't happen, you go to the school board for their help. If you get no help from the school board, now it's gross negligence. And schools are being sued. The Blue Water School Board is being sued for over $3 million by 5 parents. Now you find school boards are suing out of court because they're wrong. Schools have responsibility to protect every child from fear. Same as a prudent parent does. Schools say to you, okay, we have a bullying policy. What is it? Zero tolerance? No. That's gone now. It's a Safe School Act. And the Safe School Act makes it mandatory.
Excuse me, you're at 11 minutes.
Okay.
How much longer do you anticipate you'll be?
Thank you very much for all your help. And I appreciate your time explaining to me my program.
You mentioned you have a website. What is the...
My goal is to raise funds for the website.
Okay.
Right now, I have my domain name, bulletproofforever.ca. So it'll be www.bulletproofforever.ca. That's our goal now for the charitable status. I'm sorry for taking so much time.
No, that's quite all right. You haven't taken too much time. You're taking your allotted time. There may be some questions, remember.
Any questions about...
Any members? Councillor Nutt?
Thank you for coming tonight, Mr. Hirons. Did you say you're trying to obtain charitable status,
no,
or are you already?
We've already obtained our charitable status. We're now a nonprofit charitable organization, which means all the funds we raise goes directly to the program.
Are you looking for website development? Because I have a contact.
Website development, yes.
Doing pro bono work for not-for-profit, so if
you are a paper friend,
then I can put you in contact with
I really appreciate that, yes. Thank you very much.
I'm just going to give you my card with my telephone number on
it. Beautiful,
Chris.
Thank you very much.
Councillor Nutt, any other councillors? Thank you very much for coming out. We know that it's a very important and can be devastating problem in our communities. So we wish you luck with respect to the program. I know that you've been very active, and I've seen your Facebook. I've received messages and communicated with you. So thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, everyone, for my time. Thank you.
Thank you. And last but not least, that takes us to the president of the Stevensville Canets, Linda Hauser, and her assistant, Donna Antea.
Hey, I'm back.
You are back. You were here last year.
I was here last year, and I want to put the challenge out to Fort Erie again for the flags. Last year we won with over 9,000 flags, but we've done something different this year. We have, Canet Laurie has put out to the Canet clubs across Ontario.
Canada,
pardon me. I never know where she goes with what. And we've challenged Canada through the Canet clubs and Kinsmen clubs to join our challenge to be the most patriotic town. So we're asking the town again to use their website to register. Canet Laurie has got her phone number on her flyers. I'm going to give each one of you one of these flyers.
Thank you. We have, I can tell you that we have a flag that flies all the time. We have a second flag that we are going to be draping from our second story. My wife has already started to put up flags, and she asked me when I met with MP Vance Badaway on Saturday to get more flags.
Oh, I love her.
I can't imagine how many flags she had. She was very impressed, obviously, with her last discussion with you.
Well, I had 85 in my home last year. There is a house on Dominion Road that had 300. I just thought of a challenge as I was sitting here. Each council member has an area. So I think you should have a challenge between council people to see who could be the best, and our town would look fantastic. And Mr. Lubert, I would love that big flag to go back up in Crystal Beach. It's gorgeous. There is nothing more powerful than to drive down Gorm Road and see that flag flying. I'm not sure who's responsible for it, but when it came down, I know I was contacted by a lot of people that said, can you find out and get it back up? And I would love that across our town. We have a lot to be proud about our town, and we can take on Canada. And it's stemming from Fort Erie. It's gone across Canada, and the Stevensville Canets and Fort Erie are the starting point. So we're putting our name out there, and each year I want it to grow. So I'm asking you, and I will be driving past all your homes. I know where y'all live. And see how many flags. I'm not going to count every last one, but I want to display. And I just thank you for hearing this. I have more pamphlets if you need them. Contact me. And I understand it's on the Fort Erie website already. Is that what you said? Okay. That I appreciate. But I really still hope that the town will take the numbers in for us, and that we can get it. And as Canet Laurie gets them from the different towns across Canada and the percentage of the people in the town, then we'll find out who won and hopefully get it out there. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Don't go into
questions.
I don't know. Are there any questions by members of council? Councillor Passero and then Councillor Huberts.
Thank you, Your Worship. Thank you. It was a good conversation we had at Springfest, and you inspired a 7-year-old boy on Fairview in Crescent Park who is committed to having over 100 flags at his
All
house.
Right.
So count that one towards my house. Don't do a drive-by my house. There'll be one big flag,
oh, no.
But it won't be anything like this house on Fairview. I don't know if I should go home tonight and tell him that there's a house on Dominion with 300. That might be too much in 1 year for us to bite off, but they'll definitely be over 100, and I appreciate your commitments. And I know that our manager of communications, Janine, had dug up some information for me regarding what some other municipalities were doing to assist their local organizations who are participating in these challenges. And we'll talk internally about what we can do.
Sorry, I didn't
Go ahead.
When I first heard about this, it came on CHCH News that Thorold was the most patriotic town. That's how I started this 2 years ago, and I thought, there's no way. So that's when I started. The first year we didn't win, last year we did, and the challenge has just been with them. So if anybody has any connections to get this word out farther, I'd appreciate that too.
Great. And I know there were some very good rationale for why the flag came down on Gorham, but we have replaced that with a flag on Thompson Road that Councillor Nutt, Councillor Zanko, and myself share between our three wards. So we're happy to be having a large flag at this part of town. So.
Okay, that's very nice, but the residents that live right by that flag would really like to have it back. Thank you. I can get you a whole bunch of names if you like.
Oh, a topic for another evening.
tonight
we'll stick to the flags, but thank you very much, and we're happy to participate.
Councillor Lubbers.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Just to follow up on the big flag that was flying at the top of the hill there in Crystal Beach, we did receive a few complaints, and I just want you to know my comments were I had a very difficult time telling somebody they couldn't fly a Canadian flag, so I wouldn't support tearing it down or taking it down. But when I saw the one here in Fort Erie over by No Frills, I guess it was, in Walmart, and that was the first thing I thought of. Is like, geez, here we have one here, but for some reason we can't have one in Crystal Beach. I'd love to see it come back.
Yeah, I know a little bit about the flag. What happened was the original flag was too small for the pole, and it got draped around the flagpole and looked unpatriotic. Then they replaced that, and there were some issues with respect to that, and I'm not sure what the status is, whether there's going to be a further flag, but that's something that I can discuss with Mr. Brady. I believe it's somebody in his department that had some involvement with that, or maybe Mr. Walsh. But we'll follow that up.
And I'm hoping that when we drive down, you know, number 3 here, that the town is very well representative too. Just throwing it out there.
We have our flag that flies continuously.
Oh no, yes, I know, but the whole front yard would look beautiful. just putting my opinion out there.
That's great.
Mayor, I can continue, please.
Yes,
thank you very much. And I don't know what the town policy is. Maybe we can get some input from our staff later under new business, but I'm going to ask if it's possible that we have your little flyer there maybe put at the front desk for people to take home with them or whatever. I don't know what our policy is to allow that, but I'll ask under new business. And I know that Kinsmen and Connects are constantly fundraising, and I'm just wondering if part of your fundraiser, if anybody has thought that maybe you could sell us some flags that we could put on our home for a fundraiser. I don't know if that's what you're doing or...
Personally, I'm on overload right at the moment. But I do know the local stores have stocks, like the dollar stores in Ridgeway and Fort Erie, and the other stores have brought in extra flags for everyone to purchase. But it is something to consider in the future. Last year we had, trying to think, bring us boxes of flags for spring. I'm drawing a blank.
It was Anna brought them down from Rob Nicholson's office because we were trying to get them from Heritage Canada, and unfortunately we were too late. This year, our dates didn't coincide with dates that they were giving out flags for, so they said no to us. We wanted them for Springfest so that we could hand them out, and because it wasn't for Canada Day or Flag Day, we were denied. So we'll try and do better next year and have flags to be given out. I know, though, that for the Canada 150 parade, I believe that the 150 committee does have many, many flags that they will be giving out. Unfortunately, it's just a couple of days later at the end of the challenge. So
the other thing I wanted to mention, it was brought to my attention, last year we put some flags in different cemeteries. And I understand there is a time limit that they put them on certain graves for a period of time, and you have to have special permission to leave these flags out, I understand, from the legions and different things. So I'm hoping to get that approval so that the legions can leave these flags out, and hopefully a lot of cemeteries will be able to decorate too and show their... So I don't know how I go about that, but get approval or how I... But the legions did say that they have a time period, like they have their decoration, and then they have, but they can only leave it out so many days prior or so many days after. So I don't know what the ruling is on that, if that's for sure. That's what I've been told. So if someone could find out for me and I could get back to them, and that we could have cemeteries all decorated too.
Anything further, Councillor Liberts? Councillor Nutt?
Thank you, Your Worship. Thank you very much, ladies, for coming tonight and bringing, again, this challenge forward. It's a great challenge. Recently, I had the opportunity, it just so happened that my birthday coincided with Memorial Day, and there was nothing more powerful than being in Boston Commons and seeing over 37,500 American flags all gathered together, one flag for every serving soldier from Boston from the time of the American Revolution forward. It was a very powerful scene. It was very, very patriotic, and I had the opportunity to witness that firsthand. So I'm really looking forward to Fort Erie coming out and getting their flags out, getting everybody. I already, as I said, have my brand new flagpole that's getting installed this week, and we'll be putting the rest of the flags up around the house. So
that's
thank
good
you very
in every
much.
Flower box or every little basket. I'm just putting it out there.
I just put them where the boss tells me she wants them. That's where they go.
Any other councillors? Thank you very much,
thank
ladies.
You.
And we look forward to winning again this year. Okay, that takes us then to the consent agenda. There is an item 9.2.3A, that needs to be dealt with separately. And who has resolution number one? Is it Councillor Liberts or Councillor...
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Which items are being
9.2.3A, for sure. I have a conflict with respect to that. And are there any other items that anyone wishes removed from the consent agenda? If not, do you have that resolution, Councillor?
Yes. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor Butler that Council approves the consent agenda items as recommended, save and except for items 9.23, Community Gaming Development Corporation, April 27th, correspondence.
Are there any questions or comments with respect to any of the items in the consent agenda item as amended? If not, all those in favor of the items in the consent agenda? None opposed, that is carried. Councillor Nutt, could I hand the chair to you to have Councillor Liberts deal with item 9.2.3A, please?
Certainly, Your Worship. Councillor Liberts, my understanding you have the resolution for that?
Yes, moved by myself and seconded by Councillor Butler that Council approves the consent agenda item number 9.2.3A.
Thank you, Councillor Liberts. Any comments or questions? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? That's approved. I'll pass the chair back to you, Your Worship.
Thank you very much, Councillor Nutt. Then I'm going to call upon you for the next resolution, which deals with the report CS 14, 2017.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Jansen, ahead of time for making this as concise as possible. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that Council receives the information, or receives for information report number CS-14-2017 regarding the 2016 annual financial report attached as Appendix 1 and publish in accordance with Section 295 of the Municipal Act 2001, and further, that Council allocates the 1.822 million. Is that acceptable, Madam Clerk, or should I read the full amount?
Full amount,
okay. The $1,822,476 2016 general levy operating budget surplus as follows: $300,000 to the road refurbishing reserve, $500,000 to the major capital expenditure reserve, $650,000 to the emergency management reserve, $100,000 to the parkland reserve, $7,417 to the Crystal Beach Beautification Committee surplus to be carried forward to 2017, $5,068 to the Crystal Beach BIA surplus to be carried forward to 2017, and further, $259,991 to the General Levy Rate Stabilization Reserve. And further, that Council amends the 2017 operating budget by a total of $60,000 with funds from the General Levy Rate Stabilization Reserve for the following: ditching maintenance increase of $50,000, transit service increase of $10,000, and further, that Council amends the 2017 capital budget to include Waverly Beach Park boardwalk replacement, known as WAVB-17, at a cost of $100,000 with funding from the Parkland Reserve. And further, that Council amends the 2017 capital budget to increase the road resurfacing program, known as RSRF-17, by $250,000, and the sidewalk repair program, known as SIDE-17, by $50,000 with funds from the road refurbishing reserve.
Thank you, Councillor Nutt. Are there any questions or comments with respect to the recommendations contained in the report? Councillor Passero?
Thank you, Worship. Just a couple quick ones. Regarding the $100,000, I'm happy to see that come forward right away for Waverly Beach. Through you to staff, in addition to what we all consider to be the main boardwalk, there's also about a 15-foot by 8-foot section right at the corner of Edgemere and Helena. It's in between two rows of armor stones. It's a nice seating area. I'm guessing that was built at the same time, and it's definitely of the same materials as the boardwalk. I'm hoping that for that small section, we could also include that because it's looking to be deteriorating at the same pace. Could we lump that in when the other works are being done?
Mr. Walsh, you're familiar with that?
I am. The request is noted.
Thank you.
If I could, Your Worship.
Yes, you may.
Just one other. I'm very happy to see that we are increasing, among other things, the ditching maintenance. I know that some of the flash floods that we have had over the last 2 weeks have definitely shown some weaknesses in the system, and hopefully this will allow us to, I don't think it will allow us to make any gains, but hopefully just increase the pace at which we're able to accomplish some of the work. And I think if we can be steadfast in doing that in future years, hopefully we can get to a point where people aren't so nervous when these floods come upon us. Thank you.
Any other councillors? Councillor Nutt?
Thank you. I'd just like to take a moment to thank Mr. Jansen and Mr. Walsh for increasing the capital budget to the road resurfacing program and the sidewalk resurfacing program. I know that many of the constituents in all the wards are happy to see more dollars being put towards refurbishing of our assets. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Nutt. Are there any other councillors? I think we should recognize that the distribution of the realization of the surplus really is a reflection of a number of components, one of which has to do with increased revenues which we have received, some of which through the significant building activity that has taken place in our community. It's also a reflection of the prudence of many of the departments in all of the work that they do for the residents of the town of Fort Erie. Also some good numbers on some of the tenders that were put out. And so this is an allocation of reserves that the whole town staff can be proud of for the work that they've done. Mr. Cookett, kudos to your team across the board. And these allocations do, as some of the counselors have already mentioned, help us to address long-term infrastructure renewal challenges that Fort Erie, like all municipalities, has. We've been very active over the last 3 years in trying to make sure that we can meet those challenges. Renewable infrastructure is one of the pillars of our strategic plan, and so this helps to fulfill that objective. If there are no other questions or comments, I'll call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. That then takes us to the newspaper advertising report. Councillor Zanko, you have that resolution.
Thank you. Yes, moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Nutt. The council directs staff to revise the newspaper advertising templates to reflect changes permitted by the Planning Act as amended.
Are there any questions or comments? Councillor Nutt.
Thank you very much, Your Worship. Excuse me. I'd just like to thank Ms. Tesmer, who I still see the top of her head over there, brought forward at our subcommittee some very interesting analytics around how we're doing our advertising, the type of people, what they're looking for, what they're doing. I think that there's been some progressive work that she's done, and she should be recognized for that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Nutt. Any other comments, questions? Councillor Cicero.
Thank you, Your Worship. Just in the comments from relevant departments section, I know that the Director of Planning still has some concerns about not including appeal information in our future newspaper advertising. I just wanted to be sure that in cases of rezoning, I noticed that we're still going to continue to send letters to individual homes, but I want to make sure that that information will still be contained in those letters.
Mr. Brady or Ms. Tesmer, will the material that's mailed out be any more enlightening than the information that would be advertised in the newspapers?
It's the intention of planning staff to continue to provide the same information that we have in the past, because we feel it's important to make sure that the public is well aware.
I think that that's very prudent.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Are there any other counselors? I'm just wondering, we've had the two examples, samples attached to the report, one of which shows our current practice and one of which shows what the new streamlined version will look like. My understanding, Mr. Brady, is that people who make application for zoning amendments or planning changes generally pay a portion of the fee to cover the cost of the advertising?
That's correct.
Do they cover all of the cost of the advertising?
No, we don't operate on a cost recovery basis in the town of Fort Erie. Our fees that we charge for applications are considerably lower than what they would be if we were operating on a cost recovery basis.
Is there any intention to make a recommendation to council from your department that we should be at least contemplating recovering the cost of advertising?
I could certainly take that under advisement. We've in the past suggested that there should be increases in the cost of applications, and I can certainly look at the advertising costs as one element in the future.
The other question that I would have with respect to, I know that there's been a lot of discussion between you and Ms. Tesmer. In terms of the for the proposed format, when it talks about the purpose of the proposed change, are you satisfied that there's adequate information in the new format that's being proposed on that particular point?
Yes, I'm not so uncertain that the information isn't there. The issue is twofold that I have a concern about. One, some of the council members who've been here longer will remember we've planning staff have been extremely berated in the past by the public for not having sufficient information being provided. And the most important information that they seemed to think that was important was how they could appeal and what was the process to do so. So I'm concerned that that issue will arise again, and we'll have to deal with it as we do.
I wonder if, Ms. Tesmer, if you're still here, I wonder if you could, is it not possible in the new format to at least have even a line indicating that these decisions are subject to appeal to the Ontario Municipal Board?
Absolutely, it is possible. The Planning Act provides some recommendations as far as what to be included in the advertisement. As long as we're meeting those recommendations, we can add or take away any text we like. In the new text, it does speak to the appeal process, not as in detail as the previous one did, but the new one does speak to it, and with the new format, it does pull it out in the box and below in order to kind of grab the attention of the reader.
Right, just says appeal rights, doesn't make any indication of anything of that nature. I know what the Planning Act says, and I know that the Planning Act often doesn't, in my view, go far enough to for the municipality to adequately notify residents, particularly those who are being directly affected. But I know that you and Mr. Brady have had a lot of dialogue about this. He has a couple of concerns. It would be nice if they could be addressed within the new format, because I agree with the new format. I think it's appropriate. I just want to make sure that we don't undermine some of the efforts that we've made over the last few years to make sure that people are fully aware of what's going on and what their opportunities are.
Absolutely. We can definitely work together.
Councillor Passero, did you have your hand up again?
I did. Thank you, Worship. Could we not just add a sentence or change what's currently there that says further information about this application or project, as well as your rights as a resident available at, and give our website address? I'm concerned that Mr. Kernahan's inbox is going to be inundated. And we have everything on the website. I think just if we can use the advertising medium as far as print to just drive people to the website, where we can make sure that it's accurate, up-to-date, valid, use our print space just to direct them there. But some line that captures that essence, directing them to the website, I'd be a lot more comfortable, and hopefully Mr. Brady would be comfortable as well. At least people are letting or being told that's where they can find it. The current setup, it doesn't really show that people can use that as an extra option.
I think it would certainly be ideal to have them directed to the website. Frequently, they want to have a person that they can at least communicate with. And it's not always Mr. Kernahan. Depends on what the nature of the notice would be.
And I'm not opposed to that. You know, for information about this matter, I think Matt Kernahan. But I think when you start putting in there about just kind of that vagueness about, you know, and further including information about preserving your appeal rights, that's kind of the red flag that, well, yeah, I want to get in on that. You know, who wouldn't? I think that could be the issue that trips people up to leave him way too many messages. But definitely, for more information about this matter, please contact Matt Kernahan. Further information about this application and additional rights to you as a resident available at the website, something along those lines.
We'll leave that to our... Did you have your finger up?
I did, if you don't mind.
That's an indication that you want to bid on something.
Yes, it is. Thank you, Councillor Passero, for understanding the issue that Mr. Kernahan and other development services staff go through. I can tell you right now that they're inundated because of the volume that we have, and it's becoming a bit of a problem. But certainly anything that can happen to direct it to the web as opposed to my staff would be very much appreciated, because we are inundated.
Thank you. Okay, any other questions or comments? Then I'll call the question. All those in favor of the recommendations in the report? None opposed? That is carried. That takes us to new business, and the first item, I believe, Councillor Passero, you have. And I have a conflict on that, so I'm going to hand the chair to you, Councillor Nutt, if I might.
Thank you, Your Worship. Councillor Passero, you have the resolution.
Yes, thank you. Councillor Nutt, moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that Council approves the bingo lottery permit allocation to the Crystal Ridge Community Centre for the period July 1st, 2017 through March 31st, 2018, pursuant to the memorandum dated May 30th, 2017, from the Community Gaming Development Corporation.
Are there any comments or questions? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? That carries. I'll pass the chair back to you, Your Worship.
Thank you very much, Councillor Nutt. That then takes us to the memo from Mr. Walsh. And I don't see a particular action item with respect to that when it comes up under notice of motion. Thank you. So the next resolution, Councillor Butler, you have, and that's with respect to addition to the Mayor's Youth Advisory Committee.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor Lubert that Council appoints Alexia Hidalgo to the Mayor's Youth Advisory Committee for the period ending November 30th, 2018.
Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. Mr. Butler, you also have the next resolution.
I do. Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Lubert, that Council appoints Jackson Lowes to the Mayor's Youth Advisory Committee for the period ending November 30th, 2018.
Are there any questions or comments with respect to that? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. Councillor Lubert, you have the next resolution.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redica. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor Butler that Council accepts the resignation of Sharon Robinson from the Communities in Bloom Committee, and further, the Council directs staff to proceed with the filling the vacancy in accordance with the provisions of the procedural bylaw.
Are there any questions or comments with respect to that? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried, and we'll stick with you, Councillor Lubitz, for the next resolution.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redica. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor Butler that relative to a special council meeting of June 12, 2017, resolution number 2, Patricia Bossert's appointment to the Communities in Bloom Committee is revoked effective immediately, and further, that council directs staff to proceed with filling the vacancy in accordance with the provision of the procedural bylaw.
Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. Councillor Lubert, you had an item that you wanted to raise under new business.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redica. I have a few here, but the one that I mentioned earlier, I'm just wondering if staff could provide us with the policy of the town of Fort Erie in regards to having the Canets leave their flyers at the front desk for residents of Fort Erie to pick up and participate in the flag program.
Cook, would you know that, or should I refer that to someone else?
I don't, Your Worship, but I don't see any issues with providing that in the atrium. I don't think we need to look at a policy.
Okay.
It's fine. We will put those in the atrium.
Okay, I did mention it to the two ladies that were here earlier tonight, and I'm wondering if we could contact them, let them know that that would be available, and if they...
I'm sure that the clerk can contact the delegates.
Okay, thank you very much. And I have another inquiry. I've received a few emails over the weekend, and there's some concern about the private property owners next to and adjacent to the Bay Beach property. And one of the comments that were made was now that there was the three houses that burned down and one's being repaired and the other two were torn down. The ones that were torn down, there's people overflowing from the public beach onto private property. And the other property owners are trying to explain to them that that is private property and the overflow doesn't seem to want to cooperate with the private property owners. Now, I understand that it's their property. They have to deal with that themselves. But as neighbors in the town of Fort Erie, I'm wondering if we could put some kind of fence that they used to have. I know the Moretts used to put up a fence and notify everybody that the private property and what the policy was at Fort Erie. And I'm wondering if the town of Fort Erie should not continue that to show that we're good neighbors and we're trying to help them as well as them helping themselves to trespassers.
Are you referring to the beach or are you referring to the uplands?
The beach.
So that has nothing to do, what would that have to do then with the fact that there's been fires? You know, these are...
Well, the people aren't there in front of their homes. The people that are going in front of these here properties, the people aren't there anymore to tell them that it's private property. Now, the other neighbors are saying it, but telling them, but these people are apparently are just telling them, well, it's not your property, so, you know.
So how about if I refer that to Mr. Waltz? Is that your department? You can maybe have some further dialogue with Mr. Lubertz and find out what, if anything. Do we not have any signage that at least indicates the parameters of our public beach?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. We have a number of beaches where this is an issue, and it has always been the
the adjacent property owners that have erected the fence. I prefer to keep it that way. I don't want to set, I don't feel we should be setting precedent by erecting beach or fences to delineate town property.
I don't think that it looks particularly good for the town to be putting up fences, but do we not have any signs that indicates the boundaries of our property? I know we have Armor Rock down on the east end of our public beach between our beach and the Tennyson Yacht Club.
Mr. Brady informs me that that is the Tennyson Yacht Club signage.
That's their Armor Rock?
Yeah. As far as I know, we don't have any signage in stock.
Okay. Mr. Lubertz, that's where we are.
Okay, thank you very much. And further to that, just a follow-up on the Environmental Advisory Committee's report this evening on Waverly Beach. I'm just wondering, maybe we need to put a motion forward or something that we request the Environmental Advisory Committee to bring back a report to council as to ways that we can improve Waverly Beach and improve the conditions there with beach grasses and so forth. And also, if they could maybe contact the MNR and see what options might be available to have the man-made piers that have been out there for years removed. And the reason I'm asking for the removal of the man-made piers out there is Waverly Beach, as we all know, has a major problem with algae. And I've been out there on several occasions with Nadine Litwin, who happens to be my neighbor. And while we were down there, I noticed that right by the old dance hall pool walls, within 10 feet of that, the water kind of swirls around and it has an opportunity to move and circulate. There is no algae there for about 10 feet. It's beautiful, clean, white sand that could be, you know, enjoyed by the residents of Fort Erie and tourists. And when you look at what's out there in the mouth of the river and what comes off that shoreline, it's all piers that were there years ago when Waverly Beach was thriving as an amusement area. And I have the feeling that these piers are blocking the circulation of the water and not allowing the currents from the lake and the river to pull the algae off the shorelines. And so I'm just wondering if maybe we could get some kind of report from EAC as to what they would recommend for beach grasses and see if they could contact MNR and see what the options would be to have these structures removed from the
All right. I don't think that EAC is responsible for, nor should it be, preparing reports for council to consider. They've put forward the notion that they have a proposal, and I think they can come forward with that proposal, and they can present that to Mr. Kernahan, who sits on the committee, and he can at least circulate that to us. That proposal will probably require some type of further reporting from our staff. So I think that that's a good process there. In terms of the contact with the MNR, our staff can do that. I think that there will be a number of issues that will arise from that, including the cost. But that be Mr. Brady or Mr. Walsh?
It would be Mr. Walsh in terms of the structures, but I would like to comment on one other thing, and that is the beach grasses. We have an active program with the nature clubs in Fort Erie right now, and Waverly Beach is the center of that program. So that last summer and into the fall, in conjunction with Mr. Garofalo, there were beach grasses were planted extensively on Waverly Beach. And we're monitoring those to see, the volume which come back and the volume of which are actually doing what EAC is suggesting in terms of holding the sands. So that's ongoing, and that program is underway as we work. And I believe that was also done in conjunction with the high schools. The high schools came out and helped in terms of planting the beach grasses. So we'll continue to monitor that, and as further beach grasses are required, we can certainly discuss that with EAC to determine if the, you know, it's the appropriate grass and those kinds of things that are going on. The other thing is, please remember that a lot of the structure that is sticking out into Lake Erie isn't on town land. It's actually privately held lands, because the majority of the beach from Waverly Beach over is held privately at the present time. And I'm not too certain how much we want to get into that.
So in terms of the, just to go back to the beach grass, Ms. LaRocque was referencing, I believe, the east side of Waverly. So I presume that our staff has ongoing communication with nature clubs, and perhaps Ms. LaRocque could be made aware of that. Some of the members of her committee are in the nature clubs that are involved in this. So yeah, it was last spring that the grass was put in and the mats were put in. So that's covered. Mr. Walsh, can you make a contact with MNR with respect to the break wall? You're talking about the break wall and the
yeah, there's concrete. A break wall out there that's all broken apart, and then it goes out into the river, and then it turns to the, where would that be?
It's a break wall, not piers.
Yeah, it's a break wall. It's all broken apart. That's what I'm saying. It's all broken apart, and then it turns to the.
The break wall
turns to the west.
Yeah. The old swimming pools to the east.
Yeah.
Mr. Walsh?
Yes, I will. Thank you.
Anything further, Councillor Lubberts?
No, that's fine. Thank you.
Councillor Butler?
Thank you, Your Worship. I do have an inquiry of Mr. Brady. While I was representing the town in Montreal this week, I had a number of constituents contact me with respect to a grow op that may be located off of Rose Hill, or close to Rose Hill Auction on the Garrison. And I just wondered if you could just speak to our policy or our inability to have a proper policy, because that is out of our jurisdiction. But I think there's a growing concern of having these grow ops near residential areas. And I want to state for the record, I'm personally for marijuana use for medicinal purposes. But I do see value in putting something in place to keep grow-ops out of residential areas.
Mr. Brady.
Certainly. The federal government, a number of years ago, had policies which basically allowed marijuana to be grown by individual citizens in residential areas. And it created a great deal of difficulty. And a couple years ago, they changed their policies, and they started to talk about the larger scale institutions, and they also reached out to municipalities and basically said to the municipalities, if you identify areas for them, we'll respect that. It was at that point that the town of Fort Erie did a fair amount of research and brought forth a program that identified certain areas where marijuana grow ops or marijuana operations, if you will, would be permitted, and there was regulatory framework put in place for them. Site plans would be required and a few other odds and sods. So the areas that was identified for marijuana grow ops to be able to be created were industrial areas and agricultural areas, because to a large extent, some of the marijuana grow ops are greenhouses, and good location for them would be in agricultural areas, and some of them look more like industrial operations, and again, a better location for them would be in industrial areas. So the option is available in Fort Erie, and since that time, the federal government has been fairly good with us in terms of asking us whether or not the zoning that's now in place would permit the marijuana operation. The property that you had mentioned, Councillor Butler, is in the agricultural area, and the therefore, as of right, it is permitted to have a marijuana grow op. The issue that I think created some interest with your constituents was the fact that there was a minor variance, and the minor variance dealt with a reduction in the amount of parking that was required. And I can announce to the council that when that matter came to the Committee of Adjustment, the Committee of Adjustment decided that the issue was not something that they should be dealing with, and they turned down the application because they felt that there was a lot of public interest in it, and they also felt that it simply was not minor in scale as to what was being required. So as of this moment, that particular marijuana grow op needs to determine whether or not it's going to appeal the decision of the Committee of Adjustment to the Ontario Municipal Board, or whether to stand it down and come in with a zoning bylaw amendment to reduce the parking.
Councilor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. Thank you, Mr. Brady. That was a great explanation. I just wonder, would it be prudent for us or for myself to bring up a notice of motion then with respect to creating a bylaw within the municipality to at least alert residents when a potential grow-op is going to be in the area within the vicinity of a neighborhood?
Mr. Brady?
Certainly, council can put forth a resolution. The only thing that I would advise is that the only times that planning staff will actually be aware that the marijuana operation is being contemplated is when a site plan is being brought to our attention, or when the federal government contacts, which usually it's me, to say that a license is in process on a certain area, and that at that point they usually ask whether or not the zoning permits it. If your concern is that a marijuana operation shouldn't be in close proximity to residential areas, one of the other things that you may ask staff to take a look at is the possibility of refining the locational characteristic for marijuana operations and perhaps identifying some setbacks from existing residential.
Councilor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. I agree with that suggestion. So how do we make that happen?
You bring a notice of motion. We'll deal with it at the July council meeting. You're going to request that there be a report as to how staff could provide
spatial
requirements
for setbacks of new marijuana operations from residential properties.
You'll bring that up under notice of motion.
Yes, thank you.
Councillor Lubbers, before I go back to you, are there any other councillors? Councillor Becerro, and then I'll come back to you, Councillor Lubbers.
I'd like to thank Councillor Butler for raising that, and hopefully we can nip that in the bud. Regarding Waverly Beach, I don't expect the MNR to cooperate with us on removal of that break wall. I'm expecting terms like fish habitat and all those types of things where they've shut us down in the past on other ventures. But what I'm hoping we can do is go back to them another time. I know we've tried this once. We were turned down. I'd like to go back again. Hopefully there's somebody different sitting at the desk. One of the concerns that Councillor Zanko and I get phone calls about all the time is the smell from the algae. And the only time it smells is when it's decomposing. So either laying on the beach decomposing in the sun, or what we've done to try and make the beach usable for residents and visitors is we are the ones who pile it up into the piles that we saw in the photos tonight. It sits, breaks down in the sun, and that's the smell. I know that the concern expressed to us by MNR was they don't want sand leaving beaches because it won't replenish fast enough. That's their mantra. I understand that. What I'm hoping we can do is discuss with them the possibility that if we have a set location that we could remove the sand off-site, let it decompose, bring it back after the decomposition stage has come through, the smell is gone, it's back to sand, we spread it back out again. There's no net loss to sand, but I think for the residents who are in that area or in the adjacent area or even much further down on Lakeshore Road, depending on which way the wind is blowing, at some times it's to the point where you can't even open up your windows, nonetheless go for a walk on the beach, and heaven forbid you actually want to stay and enjoy the beach on one of the benches of the boardwalk. It's just not possible. So I'm hoping we can take that back once again and see if we can get any traction as a part of these discussions going forward, because it is a gem. A lot of people use it when it's usable, but a lot of times in the summer months, depending on weather, it's just not usable. So hopefully we can see what we can do.
You can use it if you get on the break wall and go around the algae.
Yes.
I'm thinking that you're, as you were speaking, Councilor Basura, I'm thinking that you're quite correct about the MNR. That break wall actually may be federal jurisdiction. Federal jurisdiction. Yeah. So that would be a federal agency, Mr. Walsh, you'd have to consult. I presume that your staff, though, has continuing discussions with the MNR about algae at Waverly Beach.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, and so that bureau. Anything further? Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. Just to follow up on my two colleagues' points, in speaking also with Councillor Zanko and Councillor Luberts about the water flow and that, before we go and plant the grass, I'm wondering if it would be prudent for us to ask the EAC if there is invasive plant species that would interfere with the planting of the beach grass, or if there's any type of other invasive plant species down there that may. I'd hate to see us go through all this effort of planting the grass to have it overtaken by some other invasive plant species. So it'd be very helpful if they could maybe go look at it, do a little report, let us know what we're dealing with before we begin to plant all kinds of beach grass down there.
I'm presuming that that's something that the, I think it's the Burt Miller Nature Club that we've been dealing with. Pretty confident that that's something that they'd be looking into. But Mr. Walsh, is it Mr. Hutton that deals with them on that?
Yes, it is.
Wonder if that's an issue that perhaps he can raise with Burt Miller. There is crossover between them. But I think that'd be prudent, and I don't think that they would want to be putting up beach grasses that are then going to be overtaken of species. So maybe perhaps Mr. Hutton could follow that up as well, Mr. Walsh.
Certainly. I think just before we do anything, we'd get an expert in plant and water biology, make sure we're doing the appropriate things down there.
Anything further, Councillor Nutt?
Nothing at all.
Okay, back to you, Councillor Luberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Radicop. Just to follow up on Councillor Passero's suggestion about removing the sand from site, years ago, there was some, the Waverly Beach algae issue came up, and I did a little bit of homework and some research, and I did find at one time, I don't have it with me anymore, but there was someone that was had an agreement with MNR, and they removed algae from a beach to their site, and they used the algae for fertilizer. And then, but the sand was returned back to the beach. They did have an agreement. I'm sure the agreement was with MNR. And secondly, I think MNR has provincial offices, and I'm sure they have federal offices as well. So whether we're dealing provincial or federal, it's just a matter of contacting the right office. And but that, leaving Waverly Beach aside, my last request or my last inquiry was, I got an email from a gentleman on Graber Road in Crystal Beach Drive in Crystal Beach, and his question, amongst other things, was there's a house on the corner of Graber and Crystal Beach Drive that had a fire over the winter, and he was just wondering what the policy is or what our bylaws are as far as removal. And the reason he's asking is we had the three fires down on Erie Road along the waterfront, and those houses, one's near completion of restoration, and the other two, within, I would say, a month and a half, were torn down and all the debris was removed. And this house is still there, and he's informed me now that there's some negative graffiti on the front of the house. And I'm just wondering, is there anything in our bylaws that requires these houses to be torn down, or if there's a problem with the insurance company, is that why this house is still there?
Don't know that, Mr. Cookett. I wonder if you could or whether the new fire chief has some scope. But could you follow that up, please?
I definitely will. There may be issues as regarding an investigation on the fire, and maybe that's why it's not proceeding and nothing being done there. But between myself and the fire chief, we'll definitely look into it.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Any other councillors? Then that takes us to motions. And Councillor Nutt, you have a motion on the agenda this evening.
Yes, Your Worship. Thank you. In speaking with Councillor Zanko, And Mr. Walsh has informed us that the traffic study is still in progress and the data has not been received. So I've asked Councillor Zanko, since she was the seconder on the original motion, if she wouldn't mind if we just postpone this until the September 2017 council meetings. That way it allows the staff the time to collect the data and everything. But I also noticed there's a typo at the very end. It says Regional Road 21. That should actually be Regional Road 25, if Madam Clerk would be so kind before she departs to make that correction.
Okay, that's good. Madam Clerk, any problem with this being deferred to first September meeting or second council meeting?
Mr. Walsh?
For you, Mr. Mayor, if we could take this to the committee meeting dealing with infrastructure services, that would be appreciated. That would be the third Thursday in September.
So then we would want...
Third Monday, sorry.
So this motion then would need to go to the second regular council meeting in September.
That's correct.
If I may, if you want to avoid naming a council or a committee meeting, you could simply postpone until such time as the traffic study can be completed. That way you've got some flexibility there, because that is the purpose of postponing.
That's beautiful wording, Madam Clerk. Can we do that?
Certainly.
This is to be postponed until council has received and deliberated on the, what is it?
Until such time as the traffic study can be completed.
And that's what you and your seconder wish to do. We don't need to vote on that, Madam Clerk.
Sorry, yes, we do. The motion that's on the floor was the one that was on the floor in December, so now we are postponing it again. So we do need that postponement motion, which would be that the motion regarding a reduction of the speed limit on Point Avenue Road be postponed until such time as a traffic study can be completed.
Okay. Is that moved by Councillor Nutt and seconded by Councillor Zanko? Okay. So there's no, it's a postponement motion. There's no debate except as to timing. All those in favor of the postponement? None opposed, that is carried. That takes us to notices of motion, Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. I have two this evening. So the first is that I would like to give notice of motion to be considered at the July 17th, 2017 regular meeting of Council to reconsider the motion from report number IS-05-2017 regarding public transit services that was made at the May 15th, 2017 Council and Committee meeting and subsequently approved by Council on May 23rd, 2017.
Thank you. And the second notice?
And the second is to request a report on how staff can provide spatial requirements for setbacks of residential properties where marijuana grow-ups are concerned.
Thank you. Are there any other notices of motion? Then that takes us to consideration of bylaws, and Councillor Butler, do you have that resolution for first and second reading?
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor Lubritz that the bylaw package containing 65-2017 to stop up and close the Bardal Terrace unopened road allowance and authorize the sale of part of the unopened road allowance and part of Lot 1, Plan 542 on the north side of Lindbergh Drive, 1784442 Ontario Inc., Brian Maskell, 66-2017 to accept and declare lands as public highway on the south side of Ridge Road North, Matthew and Stephanie Corrine Kelly, 67-2017 to appoint Carol Schofield as interim clerk for the Corporation of the Town of Fort Erie and to repeal bylaw number 38-2015, 68-2017 to appoint Cheryl Watson as acting deputy clerk in the absence of the clerk, 69-2017 to authorize the entry into a Brownsfield Rehabilitation Grant Agreement with 2298423 Ontario Inc., Wilf Goldlust, Willow Trail Subdivision, 70-2017 to accept and declare lands as Public Highway Black Creek Road, Carrie Ann Howe and William Harry Howe, 71-2017 to amend zoning bylaw number 129-90-3823 Terrace Lane, Michael Allen Architect, Agent Peter Cotu, Applicant 1322977 Ontario Inc., Stepan and Nada Sustek Owners, 72-2017 to authorize the acceptance of an offer to purchase partnership lands owned by the Corporation of the Town of Fort Erie and the Niagara Catholic District School Board on the north side of Catherine Street from 249-5365 Ontario Inc. in trust. Fernando Ping is given first and second reading.
All those in favor and opposed, that is carried. That bylaw package is on the floor for any questions or comments by anyone. None, then I'll go to Councillor Zanko for third and final reading, please.
Thank you. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Passero, that bylaw 65-2017, 66-2017, 67-2017, 68-2017, 69-2017, 70-2017, 71-2017, 72-2017 are given third and final reading, signed by the mayor and the clerk under the corporate seal.
Any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. Councillor Passero, you have the next resolution.
Yes, Your Worship, moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that bylaw number 73-2017 to confirm the actions of Council at its meeting held on June 19th, 2017 is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? Opposed? That is carried. Councillor Butler, do you have third and final reading for that?
Yes, I do. Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Luberts, that bylaw number 73-2017 is given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and clerk under the corporate seal.
Any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. That takes us to scheduling of meetings. Any meetings coming up? Councillor Nutt?
I'd just like to remind everybody that on June 28th, the Canadian Red Cross is holding a blood donors clinic at St. Mike's Church. That comes before our next meeting, so I just want to get...
Sure. Is that between 2 and 7? Or?
If it is between 2 and 7.
It could be 2 and 7 or 2 and 7.30 or...
It's telling me to log in and book my appointment, so...
Good.
I can't see the times of day yet.
Councillor Zanker, did you have a... Councillor Luberts, did you want to announce the infrastructure services meeting?
Oh, Mayor Martin, I don't have the date for that, obviously, tomorrow, right? No, Wednesday? Mayor who?
Pardon?
Oh, Mayor Redekop, that's you.
You don't know who the mayor is, you don't know when the meeting is. Do you know that you're in Fort Erie?
You don't know who the chair of infrastructure was last week. June 28th, 5 p.m.?
That will conflict right. With the blood donor.
Thank you very much. Yes, if I can continue.
Yes, please.
I do have other meetings, yes.
Yes.
Yes, we have a Communities in Bloom meeting tomorrow at 5:30 in Committee Room 3.
June 20th.
Conference Room 3.
Yep.
And tomorrow as well, SBCA is meeting at with a dinner at the Fort Erie Racetrack.
Thank you. Councillor Nutt, and then back to Councillor Passero.
Yes. Sorry, Your Worship. I also forgot the Chamber... Golf tournament is on June 26th, Monday, and Ridgefest is on July 1st.
Councillor Passero. No, July.
Oh, sorry, July.
Is it 7th, 8th, and 9th, or just?
Got moved back.
Yeah. Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Your Worship. In the absence of Councillor McDermott, I'd just like to mention that this Saturday, June 24th, the Central Avenue Firefighters are having a block party event in Sugar Bowl Park. A lot of different things going on. They're bringing back the Junior Firefighters Challenge that proved to be very successful last year. Other organizations in the vicinity are chipping in. The Adult Literacy Council is giving away books to kids absolutely free. We're hoping to have the Kinsman Pool open if Mother Nature cooperates with me the next 4 days. Barbecue being done by the Fort Erie Underwater Recovery Unit, so during the day. And then in the evening, they have brought back the shows in the Sugar Bowl. So Beauty and the Beast is being shown that evening. We had about 1,200 people in the park last year for the second one, so we're hoping for great weather and even greater attendance. So that's this Saturday morning till night, something going on in Sugar Bowl.
June the 24th. The junior. Ooh. Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. Just to touch on Councillor Nutt's comment with respect to Ridgeway. Ridgeway is going to have bookend weekends starting the Canada Day weekend with the Ridgeway Legion hosting Canada 150 events, and then followed through during the week on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we're going to have taking it to the street events with the merchants having sidewalk sales and exciting things happening during the weekday. And Friday, Saturday evening, which is Friday evening, Saturday all day and evening, and Sunday all day and evening, events happening with the Ridgeway Summer Festival. So lots to do in Ridgeway. Very excited.
Thank you. If there are no other meetings, before we adjourn, I just want to congratulate Councillor McDermott. He's not here, as you all know, because he's babysitting, because his daughter just delivered a daughter this morning. So congratulations to Councillor McDermott. I mentioned him in my email. He had the better alternative for an event this evening. Nicely done. We'll make sure he hears that. Councillor Nutt, to you.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zenko, that Council adjourns at 8:29 p.m. to reconvene in a regular meeting of Council on July 17, 2017.
All those in favor? And that is unanimous. Thank you.